There are three kinds of training inputs, outputs that organizations need to measure. Three of them. The first one is relating to course planning, relevance, comprehension, content of teaching, program, and the environment. It's all about the training that is happening. Has the course been properly planned? Have the dates been proper? Is it relevant to what we want? Have people understood, comprehended it? Is the content of the teaching program proper? Is the environment very conducive? This is one part of the output. Second, the utilization of what is learned. Use, underline the word utilization. What have I, how am I using it? Have I transferred the classroom learning to the job in terms of skills, competencies, decision-making abilities, problem-solving abilities, and relationships? Second point of calibration. Third one is the changes in the mindset, very important. Mindset, underline the word mindset. The changes in the mindset, such as work-related attitudes, values, interpersonal competencies, and personal attributes. The third one I consider to be most important, because the third one is what actually every trainer likes to, is trying to impact on the trainees. I want your mindset to change, not just a behavior. What's the difference? Mindset means, as the name suggests, mindset. Mindset means there is a set of thoughts and processes which determine who you are. On that thinking process, you generate a behavior. Now, when I wanted to change the behavior from B1 to B2, obviously I have to change your mindset of looking at the same thing from a different set of thoughts. So there are people who go for a training program and they actually transfer the skills. They show good amount of, you know, competencies and skills and also results, but mindset is not changing. I have live examples in my own working life. A gentleman working in production shop floor, excellent in communicating with people, very successful in production. He asks for a transfer and he goes to the marketing department. It's an engineering company I'm talking about, where I was working. Okay, engineering product rather, B2B sales. So he goes to that particular department in a different place, in a different location within the city. And he starts working there. So now he's into he's trained into marketing processes. He starts his job and he delivers. Why he delivers? Because he's got excellent skills of communication. But what happens is the mindset is still of a production mindset. His way of looking at the customer is not that much involved as a seasoned marketing person or a salesperson. So that mindset becomes a major block. So after some time, he finds the marketing job very stressful. Then he goes for a training. And the trainer is skillful enough to know that this person's mindset is still a production mindset. Then he has to make him change his production mindset into a marketing mindset. And that is related to a number of other associated factors, his upbringing, his personal value systems, the family background from where he comes, the religion which he professes. So many things are there which create your mindset. So that is a very important thing. Changing the mindset is the most important, it's the core of a behavioral change. Mindset being a set of thought processes which are aligned towards your behavior. Right? So there are three stages, before training, during training, and after training. Before training, the learner's skills and knowledge are assessed before the training program. During the start of the training, candidates generally perceive it as a waste. Many people come cynically, I don't need a training, it's a waste of time. Boss has told me, so I'm doing it. HR tells me I'm doing it. It's a part of my KRA, key result area, so I'll doing it. But if you brief them well, you get into buy-in with them, explain to them that what is it going to be, then perhaps they may not consider it to be a waste. They'll say, chalo, let me go and try what is going on. They might do that. And many do that actually. That's why in many training scenarios, I request the concerned company to give me a day before to meet the prospective trainees who come. So that they start, people who are coming with cynical ideas that training is a waste, they meet the trainer. So my role is to make them realize that tomorrow we're going to be having an exciting day. I'm going to do this. And each of them, I try to know them so that when they come tomorrow for the training program in the morning, they come with a much more open mind and they don't come with a cynical feeling that it's going to be a waste. Once aware, they are asked to give their opinions on the methods used and whether these methods conform to the candidate's preferences and learning styles. So this is an outcome once a person is briefed well. During the training, it's a phase in which the instruction has started, the skills are getting built up. This phase usually consists of short tests at regular intervals. An activity is given to a group of people, immediately we do a debriefing. What have we learned? Okay, you came and spoke here in the podium. Can you come and speak again after 10 minutes, after half an hour? So, you know, at regular intervals, there are short tests, short calibrations that are done during the training. This is the crux of the whole thing. After the training is over, you've gone back to your office and your home. It's a phase when the learner's skills and knowledge are assessed again to measure the effectiveness of the training. What have we learned new? This phase is designed to determine whether training has had the desired effect at individual department and organization level. At the individual, department and organization level. Has it had a desired effect on you, on the department which has sent you, and also the whole organization? There are the various evaluation techniques for this phase. Now we come to the most celebrated training evaluation model called the Donald Kirkpatrick training evaluation model. Very famous, a lot of organizations have used it, they are still using it in a different modified form. And it's one of the very logical, simple procedures to follow. So let's try and understand the next few slides, I'll be discussing on this. Perhaps the best known training methodology for evaluations, among others, there are many, this is one of them, Donald Kirkpatrick's four-level evaluation model. It has helped HR professionals worldwide to a great extent in understanding the training outcomes. A training is delivered and I want to know how the training has been effective. So I need an evaluation tool. So Donald Kirkpatrick's four-level evaluation model helps in a big way. Let's see what it is. The four levels of evaluation consist of level 1, reaction, level 2, learning, level 3, behavior, level 4, results. Reaction, how the learners react to the learning process. What are their reactions? How do they respond to it? What are the actions they take? How are they willing to come out of the comfort zone? These are all mapped in the first level. Second level, what are we mapping? The extent to which the learners gain knowledge and skills. That means the learners have already come out in the level 1 out of the comfort zone. They are in the process of learning, either fast learning, slow learning, or reluctant learning, but they're doing it. The extent to which the learners gain knowledge and skills. Second level calibration. In the third level, we actually go along and see the behavior. The purpose of the learning is to change the behavior. The capability to perform a learned skill while on the job. And finally, the results. It includes such items as monetary, efficiency, morals, etc. Broadly. These are the four levels, okay? Now you can see this chart here, okay? At the bottom is reaction, then comes learning, then impact and results. What are the reaction? Did the learners enjoy the learning? Level 1. Did learning transfer occur? Learning, second level. Did the training change the behavior and did the training influence performance? So from a behavior, it goes to the performance. This is a pictorial depiction, right? So let's discuss level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, a little bit of a detail. According to Kirkpatrick, reaction may best be considered as how well the trainees liked a particular training program, liked or not liked. Evaluation at this level measures how the learners react to the training. This level is often measured with attitude questionnaires that are passed out after most training classes. Did you like the training? What was it you did not like about the training? The trainer? The course? The ambience? Or the way the course was structured? This level measures one thing, the learner's perception, that is reaction to the course, his perception. Right? Learners are often keenly aware about what they need to know to accomplish a task. Learners are often keenly aware of what they need to know to accomplish a task. Not always true, but they more or less know that to do this, I need to do this. I need to have this skill. Okay? If the training program fails to satisfy their needs, we need to check the program design and or the delivery. If a learner says that this is what actually I want, then I could customize it, give it to him in the way he thinks he wants. He may be right as far as his hunch is concerned that I need this, but he may not be right also. First, let him ask whatever he wants, and you need to give him. Then from the outcome, you'll come to know whether that was a figment of imagination or he really wants it. Sometimes learners are not aware about what they want. Let me be frank about it. But you must give the benefit of doubt to the learner that he knows it. He knows what he wants. You start off with the paradigm, learners know what they want. But as the learning progresses, you may realize that he may not be aware about what he wants for the next role for which he has come to get trained. So you have to sensitize him. This level not only is not indicative of the trainee's performance potential, as it does not measure what new skills the learner has acquired or what he or she has learned that would transfer back to the working environment. We have yet to come to the performance, so this is not about performance, this is about the attitude, the way the person looks at it, right? This has caused some evaluators to downplay its value. People think it's only the first step of the first level, so why give it so much of importance? The question is, may they design or the type of time they allocate, they'll be very less. But they feel it's not really important. This is very crucial, very, very crucial. The reason is, this is the touch point where the trainers, the trainee and the trainer starts building a rapport or they don't build a rapport. If this is taken for granted and neglected, not given importance, you have a major issue in the future. The trainee will sit throughout the day, 3 days, 4 days, whatever sessions are going on. He will go through the whole ritual of doing everything. At the end of it, he'll give a feedback saying that this was utter nonsense. You'll be shocked. Then when you ask him, why did you not tell me? He said, you're supposed to know. And the trainer is supposed to know. His skill has to be to calibrate the reaction in the level one in the very first instance. That's why do not neglect this level one reaction. However, the interest, attention and motivation of the participants are often critical to the success of any training program. People often learn better when they react positively to the learning environment by seeing the importance of it. Okay? Need not be positively, people even learn when they negatively interact. When they negatively interact, what happens? They are creating an energy of inquiry. And then the trainer takes it up. He said, okay, fine, why do you feel so? Like somebody told me in one of the leadership training in an IT company in South, very senior manager. He was at the level of a project director, very large company in terms of manpower, a big brand. So the very first day of the very first module, it's a 12-month training, mind you. So the very first day, very first module, this gentleman raises his hand. He says, Venkat, I don't agree with whatever you're saying. This is all humbug. He shoots off straight away. So everybody was stunned. Then the HR person was sitting there, was telling the training manager, was saying that, look, we have spent time, money, research, etc. He said, whatever you've done, it doesn't make sense to me. When did he say this? In the first half an hour. Accomplished person, mind you, in his domain, he's good, he's an expert. I knew about him before because I read the profile. I said, fine, so tell me what is not good about this. You tell me. I'll correct myself. No, all these trainings are of no use. Full of his own perception. So my role is to have a dialogue with him, a very respectful dialogue, create a comfort zone so that this gentleman pinpoints and tells me in his perception, what is not okay. I really appreciated his reaction. And the other people were feeling uncomfortable. They said, no, you should not talk like this. He's the trainer. I said, look, let him talk. Because my role is to understand, for me, the weakest link in the training room is most important. When I say weakest link means that person who's contesting the training program, that person who doesn't like the trainer's face and the dress he's wearing, that person who's out and out to prove that the trainer is wrong or the training is wrong. I love to meet these people because they are the ones who make me a better trainer. So I have a dialogue with them without getting flustered. You know, the point is that you should know what you're doing. The trainer should be confident about what he's doing. It's very important. Then the reaction can be properly understood and absorbed and addressed. Right? And then the training went on in that scenario. Gradually, you know, he realized that, you know, those are things which he needs to learn a lot of things. He had to be addressed in the way he loves to be addressed, wherein he is made to feel important. And that we did. And things happened better. Within the next module, next month, everything was perfect. He was asking questions, but he was not getting cynical. Right? the less the relevance of the learning to the learner, the more effort needs to be put by the and in the design and the presentation of the learning packages. If the training, the relevance of the learning to the learner will be not there when the training gap itself has not been understood and they have not done the research before the training started. That's what might go wrong, according to me, right? Reaction may be in the form of feedback forms based on subjective person reactions to the training experience. Verbal reaction which can be noted and analyzed. Post-training surveys or questionnaires, grading by trainers, feedback given by trainees to their managers. All these things are very common in a training scenario. So these are the type of reaction that come up. Now we go to the level 2 of the Kirkpatrick model. Learning. This depicts the extent to which a participants change attitudes, improve knowledge and increase skill as a result of participating in the learning process. It addresses the question, did the participant learn anything? The learning evaluation requires some type of post-testing to ascertain what skills were learned during the training. After the training is over, we've got to test it, right? Post-testing, when combined with pre-testing, before and after you test, differentiates between what they already knew prior to the training and what they actually learned during the training program. Measuring the learning that takes place in a training program is important in order to validate the learning objectives. I need to give importance to the learning objectives. I need to get focused to that. I need to stay with that throughout. It can't be lost out of sight. So I need to measure the learning as the program is taking place. So I'm focused with the learning objective. Is this fulfilling the learning objective or not? Yes, go ahead. Is this fulfilling learning objective? No, let's do something about it. So the learning objective becomes a basis for the measurement, in short. But don't make it a micromanagement type of a behavior. That is very irritating. There are break times when the training manager can communicate with the trainer. There are times when the training is going on, when suddenly you start, you know, interrupting, that doesn't work. So there has to be certain predetermined timings where this sort of measurement of the learning is done and in tandem with the trainer, so that things become a little more easy for us to manage, right? Evaluating the learning that takes place typically focuses on questions such as what knowledge was acquired, what skills were developed or enhanced, and what attitudes were changed. Just three of them have been put. There are many more. Okay. Learner assessments are created to allow a judgment to be made about the learner's capability for performance. Instead of judgment, I would like to use the word calibration, because judgment is personal. Calibration is just measurement of what is set as a thing, right? There are two parts to this process. The gathering of information or evidence, that's the testing the learner, and the judging of the information or the calibration of the information, what the data represents. You put a thermometer in your mouth. If you're feeling little warm or hot, or you're feeling feverish, and then the thermometer has got graduations. You put it in the, you're testing whether you are having a temperature, then you remove the thermometer and you look at it. That's a judging, calibrating. How much of temperature do I have? 98, 100, 101. So that's where the data, what the data represents. The data represents that I have a fever. The data represents I don't have a fever, right? So the results, right? The information that is coming up. Typically, assessments or tests before and after the training. Interviews or observations can be used before and after, although this is time consuming and might be inconsistent. Rarely people use this because it requires tremendous amount of rigor. It may not be worth it in terms of the time spent. It may not be worth it. For academic purpose, to understand it as an HR person, this is important for us to know. In reality, even the largest companies with lots of budgets and huge HR departments, I have not come across them doing this in a very detailed way. Methods of assessment needs to be structured in line with the aim of the learning. Reliable, clear scoring and measurements need to be established so as to limit the risk of inconsistent assessment. We must have a consistency of assessment. Consistency means what? When I assess, it should be with the same parameters, which should be corrected from time to time for changes. So that consistency should be maintained. Otherwise, the whole assessment goes haywire. A person X working in a city A is transferred to another city B, same person. Now, this assessment in A is giving him 100 points. when he's in city A. When he goes to city B, the assessment tool cannot be the same as what they did in city A, because in city B the parameters are different, his behaviors may change, his surroundings are different. So there I need to be consistent by overlaying the other factors which I've taken for granted here. Okay. Now we come to level 3, the behavior itself, the performance. This evaluation involves testing the capabilities to perform learned skills while on the job rather than just the classroom. The on the job is a focus here. Level 3 evaluations can be performed formally, that is by testing, or informally, that is by observing. It determines if the correct performance is now occurring by answering the question, do people use their newly acquired learnings on the job? Let's say you're a machine operator, okay, in a factory, in a production center, and there's a new competent machine has come, a very sophisticated machine has come, and you're sent for training. So after you come back, they'll formally test you. Do you know this thing? What does this mean? What does that mean? They'll show you the machine. Next, they'll tell you, now come on, do the job. Let us observe you. Right? So that's what is testing and observation. Continuing further, since level 3 measurements take place after the learners have returned to their jobs, the actual level 3 measurements will typically involve someone closely involved with the learner, such as his or her supervisor. The example I give you now, I am the production manager, I am my worker. We have upgraded him to operate on a bigger machine. He goes for a training. When he comes back, I observe him. And I'm the right person to observe him, because at the end of the day, he is impacting my production, and the new machine has to be properly utilized by him and properly run by him. Right? Point number 2 is 360 degree feedback, very popular, useful method. Assessments can be designed around relevant performance scenarios and specific key performance indicators or criteria. 360 degree feedback simply means around you there are 360 degrees, right? So everybody who is associated with you on a day-to-day basis, they are asked for a feedback after you perform. You go for a training program, you come back, new behavior has come, you're dealing with customers, you're dealing with other stakeholders, internal customers as well as external customers. So you seek feedback and you get a overall feedback whether this guy has been different or not than before. Assessments tend to be more successful when integrated with existing management and coaching protocols. Every organization has got its own coaching methods and coaching ways of, you know, doing things. So the assessment has to integrate. It can't be something way out. It should be with the cultural needs of the organization, in short. Right? Although it takes a greater effort to collect this data, it is valuable to the training department and the organization. It takes time. Again, let me also confess, this does not take place in such a rigorous way in many organizations. There is a certain few things they do and they are convinced about it. It goes on. In fact, most of the other training that happens, behavioral change, once the trigger is given by the trainer, the behavior has changed, the person is changing the behavior, then the supervisor takes over and he starts pushing him further into a new behavior. So like I told you in another module, another chapter, I told you that training is a trigger. Once the trigger is given, I give a push. It's like the starter. You start the car, you know, and it goes on. And then the rest of it is taken up by somebody else. Right? The data provides insights into the transfer of learning from the classroom to the work environment and the barriers encountered when attempting to implement the new technique learnt. Easy to understand? Behavior change evaluation is possible given good support and involvement from line managers or trainees. So it is helpful to involve them from the start and to identify benefits from them. So even before the training program, get to know the supervisor to whom the trainee is reporting. Ask him what are his needs post training. He'll articulate. Some of them may be subjective, some of them may be work related, but take all the data. After the training is over, the trainee goes back to his department, meet the same supervisor again after a few months, ask him how is it going, so he'll give you further feedback. So this behavior change evaluation can be done by this type of a method, easy method. To that you must have an access to the organization's supervisors and other people who are part of that behavioral change, right?